The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy. It's Thursday morning, the 16th of January, 2020. We're here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan at rte.ie. Good show for you this morning. Intriguing guest with a fascinating story coming up for you in a few minutes' time. But let's see what's... The news is quite grim, isn't it, in the papers? And broadly speaking, you've probably been hearing a lot about it and seeing different stories. But... I think I'm just struck by the person who was in the tent by the canal, and the diggers went in over to clear the tents, and that person is now in hospital and is severely injured, and I hope that person is okay. That's the first thing. The second thing is that people inhabiting tents by the canal in Dublin sounds like something out of Sean O'Casey and not out of Ireland 2020. It's quite striking. And I think in years to come, not my children, but our grandchildren will probably say, why didn't you do something? You know, I think it is quite extraordinary. And I spoke during the summer to a woman. She was looking for money, but sitting on the ground in Baggett Street. And you might remember I told you this story, but she was lovely and full of chat. And we chatted for about 10 minutes or so. And she said that she lived in one of those tents. And I was thinking of her when I heard this story. And the funny thing about her, she had a great sense of humour. She's trying to get back into the college system. And I said, what do you want to do? She said, interior design. Here she is living in a tent, interested in interior design. Why wouldn't she be? But, you know, ambition doesn't die with poverty. She was trying to keep it going. But it's just a bit grim. And the Irish Examiner photograph that they've taken. Do you remember our friends from the Homeless Street Cafe? We spoke to them here on the radio and then we had them on the Late Late Show, and they volunteer. And rather than calling themselves a soup kitchen, which is essentially what it is, they've called it the Homeless Street Cafe to give it a sense of dignity to what they and the recipients of their kindness do. But they posted that picture. Do you remember the boy Sam eating his food off a cardboard box? And they have another picture in. And I think this is hard-hitting, actually, more so than just hearing stories in some ways. But it's a woman, an elderly lady, is eating her dinner off a windowsill in Dublin. And she's put out whatever food she has on the sill of a shop. And in the shop window, there are two women modelling clothes, obviously on a poster. And we'd probably pass the shop every day. And she's hunched over the food on whatever class of plate it is, with a bag at her foot and a coat on her. It's cold. And it's a striking, striking photograph. But they said this is a heartbreaking photograph, as this woman is in her golden years. Said that the elderly woman eats her meal from a plastic bowl every week, and that the issue of homelessness is beyond a crisis. If you haven't seen that photo, as I say, I'm looking at the Irish Examiner, and you can go on to the Homeless Street Cafe and see it for yourself. It just seems to be, as they say themselves, a situation that is beyond a crisis. And being old should be a very dignified state of affairs entirely. I've often mentioned, and forgive me if I'm harping on, but I often mention being in New Orleans, as they call it, New Orleans, once upon a time, and looking for going to the information point and seeing a woman who was clearly in her 80s, I think I even asked her, working behind the counter. And she knew every stone and every blade of grass in the place. She was the perfect person to ask, where is such and such a place? And I always feel older people are ignored to our detriment and our peril, because they are the repositories of information and experience and knowledge. And that's why I quite enjoyed watching a programme called Style Counsellors on RTE recently. And it stars Suzanne Jackson, who people online will know as Sosumi. But her co-star on it is Eileen Smith, who was briefly on The Late Late Show. Eileen is 79 years old. She's a fashionista and she knows her style. And when I was watching the programme, I said, two things. One, at last, a non-ageist programme, especially fashion's great. Do you think it'd be so superficial? But here's a woman who, at 79, clearly knows her stuff. And I think at last somebody somewhere cleverly realised that, yeah, we can tap her for the information and knowledge that she has, because there's only so much we can do at whatever age we might be. But anyway, I thought it was really, really good. Worth looking at, called Style Counselors. And it brings me to a man in Indiana, strangely, who features in the papers today, because he's retiring from his job. And up until last week, he was a surveyor for the Indiana Department of Natural Resources. And that means that he collects technical field data and confirms boundary lines for properties and so on. And he's decided, I'm done. I'm finished. It's time to rest my bones. How old is he? 102. Now, you've got to ask yourself, what's happening? Climate change has made us all aware of the craziness of the weather outside our window. But the aging world has changed completely. When I was a boy, 70 was felt old. Now I meet octogenarians up and down the aisles of the supermarket, driving around the place, like not a bother on them. That age as a state of mind thing is definitely an issue for some people. I think some people think, I'm that age. Incidentally, that happens to people in their 30s who feel, oh, I'm 35 now, I better do X, Y, and Z. You don't have to do anything. You know, who wrote the rules? I mean, obviously, to an extent, but this man is brilliant. He's 102. He is Indiana's oldest state employee and is retiring after nearly six decades on the job, saying that your body tells you when it's time to go. 102, the body decided it's time to go. And he was a World War II veteran. He still travels around and Indiana until he finally retires. What's he going to do in his retirement? He wants to read and farm. What a beautiful way to head into the autumn and beyond of your years. Good stuff. Now, there was a lovely story that was pointed out to me yesterday on online. You know I often bash online, but this is a positive Twitter story. Brace yourselves. There's a bookshop in Britain and it had no customers for the first time in 100 years. And they sent out a tweet, the poor fellow working in the bookshop. Now, if you remember the ad, Fly Fishing by J.R. Hartley, the old man goes in to try and find the book. It's like that, a dusty old bookshop. And they sent a tweet saying, tumbleweed, not a single book sold today, £0.00. That's it. Sent it out, thought a little of it. And then something happened. This is when things go viral for the right reasons. Somebody else sent it, somebody else sent it. The science fiction writer Neil Gaiman retweeted it to millions of his followers. And overnight, like something out of a little short story, the orders came flooding in from online. And they got £1,000 worth of orders in the few hours after the tweet. And then they sent out a more cheerful tweet which said, what a night. We have been completely overwhelmed in a good way. We have 1,100 new followers. We have loads of online book orders. And we have over 300 messages, many asking for after books. We will answer all as soon as we can. Please bear with us. Thank you all so much. It's a lovely story and a useful reminder that I know we love to buy stuff online and it's great, but that bookshop down the road in the town or the village, that simply won't survive if you don't go in and buy that book there. And if you're in a position to pay the extra couple of quid because it's down the road, do. It's just the right thing to do, no doubt about it. Spotify, which I amn't on, but they want you to make sure your beloved cats and dogs have a say in your next playlist. This is, as it says here in this piece, a gimmick, but sure, why not? A new playlist generator, aptly dubbed Pet Playlist, is now live. And it lets the Spotify users select the type of animal they own and curate a selection of songs based on their furry friend's personality type. For instance, if you select cat as an option, Spotify will then ask you if your cat is energetic or relaxed, shy or friendly, curious or apathetic. And then they'll ask you to upload a picture, optional, and your pet's name. And those choices will then be meshed with songs in one's repertoire to assemble a playlist that both you and your pet are meant to enjoy. I haven't heard such balderdash for a long time, but if it distracts you for 2 days from the humdrum of life, so be it. Text, it should be called Pet Sounds, surely. Very good. That's quick. I like that. Quick off the mark. 51551 is the text number. Star Trek lovers, I'll keep this brief, will be thrilled to know, and I'm one, that the Picard, the new series is coming out, which carries on the story of Jean-Luc Picard, spin-off from Star Trek, The Next Generation, starts on January 24th. But for a couple of days, today and I think yesterday, Piccadilly Circus tube station. You know, when you go into the tube station against the wall, you'll have the very iconic signs on the wall of the tube station's name. They've been renamed and rebranded Picard Illy Circus Tube Station. And you should look at the artwork they've done for it online. It is whoever did the design for that, and it's not something that leaps out at me all the time, but they have just, it's so elegant and so stylish and so smart. They've nailed it. So I'm dying to see the show. Patrick Stewart, your former guest on, I think it was Tubridy Tonight, a charming individual, a lovely person, and a wonderful talent, great voice, engage, and a good egg all round. Now, what have we got for you? Let's take some music, shall we? This song just leapt out at the end of Jojo Rabbit. Now, the version they use in that film is by the same singer, but it's in German. No, do you know what? You put up the other one, so I'm going to play that I wanted to do. Yeah, I wanted to hear this other one as well. I might play the one I just talked about, the Jojo Rabbit one, later on. But now I want to hear this one because it's a bit more upbeat for where we are today. And this came, the reason I want to play this is because I was watching a programme called My Tribe on RT about, and they were talking about rockabillies, and I was intrigued. I just love that world. I like the rockabilly world. I like the style. I love the music, the Teddy Boys and all of that, and the individuality of it, as it were. And I often heard the story about the night they started showing Rock Around the Clock, Bill Haley, in the cinema in Dublin, and people went mad because they kind of, could you imagine Dublin at that time, which of course I don't. I'd say it was pretty oppressive, a bit grey. Remember, if you ever read John Banville's Benjamin Black series, you get a kind of sense of Dublin's smoggy and oppressive. And then this guy comes along and you're thinking, yeah, I'll have some of that.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
It's like 2 minutes of something beautiful, isn't it? I mean, how could you not move to that? If you didn't move to that, you're a rock. We talked briefly about graphic novels yesterday and some recommendations came in, including one from Michael McDonald to say, try James Joyce's Portrait of a Dubliner. It's an introduction to the world of Joyce written by a Spanish guy from Northern Spain, I should say. Highly recommended. Well, that's a great way, again, into the world of Joyce, I suspect. And Paddy Hannigan was on to say, for a six-week literacy project called Read DL, that's Read Donegal, in 2016, we read Gerry Hunt's graphic novel, Blood Upon the Rose, about the 1916 Rising, and it went down really well with schools in the county. So thank you for those tips. Appreciate that. Another text to 51551 says, I adore Eileen Style Queen. Yes, we just mentioned her a few minutes ago on Instagram. And the programme with Suzanne is genius. Loving it. Eileen is probably staying young as a result of keeping her brain sharp and in tune with all things style. Another says you have to keep working in the US to survive, even until the age of 102. Yeah, but I think some people don't want to retire. And I think some people love working. And some people think that if you do retire too early, like the cat next door, you'll just fall down and die because your world has just ended. And I think it can be too abrupt. And some people are dying to get out, and that's fine, but That's the way I see it. Went online yesterday to order The Hunger Road. This is the famine book we spoke with Marita Colin McKenna about on Monday. It says a text. And then quickly, that very thought, if I don't buy local, that little bookshop won't survive. So I promptly phoned my local bookshop and I'm collecting it tomorrow. Winner, whoever you are, brilliant. That's exactly what it is. And Yvonne is in Dunshockland. Thank you for that amazing song, Rock Around the Clock. So long since I heard it. And I'm starting jiving classes next week. How apt. Well, you are in the zone now as a direct result of that. Right, from jiving to river dancing, because on the 9th of February 1995, Riverdance the show premiered at the Point Theatre in Dublin. And it's coming back home to celebrate 25 years with five performances from the 6th to the 9th of February at the Three Arena, and you could be at least at the gala night exactly 25 years to the day on the 9th of February, which would be pretty special. Now, not only the daily winner will go into a draw for a trip to New York. So everyone's going to the gala, but each daily winner goes into a draw for a trip to New York. And that would be to see Riverdance 25 at Radio City Music Hall on Tuesday, the 10th of March, 2020. And that prize includes return flights from Dublin to New York on Monday, the 9th of March, returning from New York to Dublin on Thursday, the 12th. And three nights in a double room at the Sheraton Manhattan and Times Square Hotel, which sounds lovely. And all you have to do now is call us on 1850-715-900 and answer as many questions, ultimately, if you come on air, around the year 1995 in 1 minute. So get busy and we'll talk to you shortly.